Tonight we're going to continue with our message from Sunday. So y'all remember right Sunday we were talking about what? About being spiritual soldiers, taking on that responsibility, making sure that we're not, you know, clothed in white, a saint of God, but yet about our own business, kind of falling outside of kingdom work. We are soldiers. We're proud to be soldiers. We're proud to be in the army of God. And we want to be effective, right? We want to be effective. Nobody wants an ineffective soldier, right? Everybody, when they join up with the full intent of giving it their all, being their best. And so we learned on Sunday, you know, the need, if we're going to be effective, that we're going to have to know some things. We're going to have to know some things about God, about our mission. We're going to have to know some things about our purpose. We're going to have to know some things about our weaponry. And then we even talked about one aspect of an effective soldier is also to know some things about their enemy, to know some tactics of their enemy, right? And so I want to pick up there and give you just a little reminder. Tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the devices, the strategies, the wiles, the schemes of the devil, who is our adversary, right? We remember that from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We do have an adversary that's walking about like a roaring lion, but praise God, we already have the victory. But we got to know that. We got to understand that. You know, in the Old Testament, the devil was really not talked about a lot. Certainly, we could say there was not much revelation of the devil and of demons and how they affected people. It seems in the Old Testament that really the scriptures that are there are more, I guess, to give us an understanding of how the devil came about, you know, where he came from, a few things about him. It does mention a couple of times things. It mentions, of course, that an evil spirit would come upon King Saul at times. That was pretty much all that was said about that, and that David would play the music, which really he was playing the words of God to help him get free. We see in the Old Testament, I think, once they mention a lying spirit, but they really just didn't mention much. Demonic activity, you know, devils, how they affected people, what their strategies were. And I really believe it's probably, the Bible doesn't say this, but I believe it's because there was no remedy. In the Old Testament, there was no remedy for the devil. There was no Jesus yet in the earth. There was no Son of God. There was no power in the earth. There was no blood of Jesus that had been shed. And so because there was no real remedy for it, there was really not much instruction given in the Old Testament. But praise God, Jesus came on the scene, hallelujah, to redeem us, buy us back, show us our rightful place. Of course, then Jesus died and was resurrected and at that time defeated the devil, put him under our feet, was raised up to seat at the right hand of the Father, us going with him, those who are believers. And so we know that is our position. But as we see Jesus in the earth, there were many accounts of demons, how to get rid of demons, what demons were doing to people. And there was many instruction even after that. The Apostle Paul, who got much of the revelation of the New Testament, gave us much instruction. He had light. He shed more light on the subject of us dealing with the devil and demons so that we could keep them in the rightful place, which is under our feet, which is according to Luke 10:19, that says he gave us power and authority to trample over every serpent and every scorpion, and that they would by no means have any power over us in any way at all to harm us. And so we go into tonight's instruction, tonight's teaching, remembering that. Okay, so the reason we're talking about these things are not to say that we're making big mountains out of these things, but the truth is we have to be spiritually sharp. As a soldier, you have to be alert. You have to be on guard. You have to know your enemy. You have to be able to resist the enemy. Praise the Lord. So let's just look at a couple of scriptures that I did give on Sunday, just as a reminder. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Tells us part of our weaponry. We know we talked about it the other day. Of course, we have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit and other things, including our armor. And so here in Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. So what this does tell us is that there are going to be wiles, let me define that, devices or cunning stratagems employed in manipulation or in persuading someone to do what one wants. So the devil is going to have some devices and some cunning strategies to try to get you over into his field, into his playing area, where he can mess with you, destroy your life, and make things really rough for you here in the earth. But the Bible says in Ephesians that when we're clothed with our armor, that we are able to withstand. Come on, we're able to stand against the wiles. Praise God for that, right? Then we also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that the Apostle Paul said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so this again was him saying, if we're going to be effective as spiritual soldiers, we're going to have to know some of these devices, recognize them, and deal with them effectively. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to get sharper in the things of dealing with the devil. Come on, we're gonna get more skillful. I'm hearing the word skillful. We're gonna get more skillful tonight with our weaponry. We're gonna get more skillful in being able to identify ways that he tries to mess with us and get us into his snare or into his trap. You know, he does have some dirty tricks. I called these on Sunday the devil's dirty D's. These are not all of his tricks. They're not all of his devices. They're just some that I came up with, some that I felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about. But I do want you to recognize that, you know, they're real. And as a spiritual soldier, we don't want to be getting any D's, right? We want to stay in the A category. Do they still score stuff like that in school? A is still the best, right? We want to stay in the A, in God's A category. We don't want to get down where we're getting a failing grade and getting into some of these D's here. So we're going to talk about these tonight. Really, all of these things, again, are with the intent and the purpose of destroying our life. The devil comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, all right? So I'm going to give you these eight things again. I'm going to talk about, tell you what they are. I'm going to run through them in a list. And then I'm going to talk about each one, all right? And we're just going to talk about them. We'll see what the Lord wants to do. It might be short. We might cover them on a broader level, but we might get into some. We'll kind of see. We'll kind of see what you need to see tonight, what your scorecard is as we're going across this. And I said this on Sunday, but again, I'll say it. I find this is one thing, is don't let the devil rob you of getting free by thinking that you can never admit that you're dealing with something. That right there is a deception of the devil to make you listen. Everybody is subject. Everybody is subject to evil. Everybody is subject to things that go on the earth. We are all faith people. We're going at it 100%, but none of us are perfect. At any moment, things can happen. And it's okay when things happen. The first key about getting rid of something or getting over something is to acknowledge that something is happening. Right. All right? So don't let the devil tell you, that a faith person never admits that something's wrong with them or something's going on. And sometimes you can deal with it by yourself with the Lord, but sometimes you need help. The Bible tells us sometimes we're to confess our faults one to another. This does not mean go around and just pick anybody you see and tell them all kind of stuff. You have to be very discerning. Get the safe people and make sure that it's really, you're telling it not to rehearse it. As Christians, we don't get in something and rehearse it. That's like getting in the mud and just rolling in it. We're not here to rehearse it. Why are we not rehearsing it? Because our words have power. Amen. And so we're not putting a bunch of power into, we don't need to know all of the details and all of the stuff and all of the family history and how bad and how, we don't really need to know all that. Really, God already knows that. You already know that. And you just talking about it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it is not the goal. The goal is to say it once and process through it. Yeah. process through to victory, process through to the answer, process through to getting somewhere else. I'm telling you this because I know that you with me are going to get the answer from God, and we're going on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here are the eight devil's dirty deeds. Number one being deception. Number two being distractions. Number three being disobedience. Number four being delays. Number five being disappointments. Number six being discouragements. Number seven being depression. And number eight being doubt. All of those things will trip you up. All of those things will mess up your life. And to the degree that we go there, to the degree that we stay there, just prolongs the results. The longer we stay there, the more it gives the devil access. Okay? Now, I want to say this again, prefacing this. We recognize that we are also in the mix. Right? There's God and everything that comes from God, the grace of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the ability of God, you know, to win, to choose right, to do the right thing. And then there is the devil who is after us, trying to kill us, destroy us, mess us up, get us off track. You do anything he can in any way, he'll take any degree. He'll take any degree he can. But then we also have to realize that me, myself, you, yourself, and I are in the mix. And so all of these things that I'm going to talk about aren't always just the devil. They could be some things, like when we get into the delay category, there could be some things you're doing or not doing that will cause a delay. And so we can't throw everything off on the devil. We do realize this. Let's just put it this way. For the devil to do anything to you as a Christian, we are allowing it in some way. Uh-oh, I better go over here. As a Christian, because we are seated with Christ, we have already been placed into the victorious place. For the devil to do anything to us, in some way we're allowing it. And I'm not saying that we're wanting it. I'm not saying that we're not trying, but we have to get really real here. Okay? If we're going to get rid of it, if we're going to get the victory, if we're going to get overcome it and get on top of it, we're going to have to be real and recognize that sometimes we have a part to play in it. All right? So let's start with number one, deception. I already read earlier back on Sunday, in Revelation 12, where it says that the devil deceives the whole world. So deception is just part of who he is. It's part of what he does. I'm going to give you the definition of deception. It's the act of causing someone to accept as true, or we could say as truth, or valid what is false or invalid. Deception correlates to trickery. And so when we think of deception, we think of the spirit of error, because error is the opposite of truth. We know that Jesus is the truth, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We know that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. We know that the word, sanctify me by thy word, which is truth. So we know that the Word of God is truth, and we really know that God himself is not a man that he can lie. Everything about God is truth. And let me just tell you this, that true is subject to change, but truth never does. So you may have something in your life that may look like it's true. Your body may be telling you something that looks like it's true, but it is subject to change according to the truth that you have already been healed in Jesus' name, because the truth never changes. Never changes, the truth. Hallelujah. And so we're going to know the truth, stay after the truth. We see here from Genesis, don't put this up, I'm just going to quote it. Genesis 3:13, it does reveal that it is the serpent all the way back to the beginning sin in the earth by Adam and Eve was done by the serpent who deceived Eve. So this is a really old trick. This deception. This is the oldest thing that there is in the book, how the devil is trying to deceive and trick and really blind us to the truth. Let me give you this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, "For the God of this world," meaning the devil, "has blinded the unbelievers' minds, that they should not discern the truth." Now, this is talking about salvation, "preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God." So this is telling us that in deceiving, the main deception that the devil brings to unbelievers is he deceives them, he blinds them to seeing the truth of who Jesus Christ really is, the Savior of the world. He does that through deception. He does it by many ways. He tries to make them feel they don't need a God. He does it through intellect, through making them think that because people can't reason it or understand it or make it work out right. So there's many ways that he goes about his deception. But one of the real tragedies of deception is that most of the time when people are being deceived, they don't even know it. And that's why this deception is really difficult to deal with people, because they can't see. And really, it's only God and them opening their heart to God that can cause the light, the illuminating light.
Amen.
Now, this scripture has talked about unbelievers, but really, we could slip ourselves, we could slip believers into that in any way, shape, and form, that the devil is coming, trying to blind us to something about the truth, something about the glory of God, something about the likeness of Jesus. He'll come at it many ways, you know, like healing. Like he'll come at it, I have an aunt that loved God and served God and believed God, but she didn't get healed. So that must mean that healing is not for real. That's a deception. That's a deception. We have to guard against deception. Don't be flippant about deception. Because no one in this earth is ever completely above the temptation or the ability to be deceived. Now, of course, our faith is not, "I'm going to be deceived." No, that's not what I'm saying. But we have to live a life with God. We have to live a life tight with God, with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. We have to recognize that the devil is constantly trying to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 11 says this. In verse 3, it says, "But I fear," Paul speaking, of course, "lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is written to Christians. Sometimes we just try to complicate things. Sometimes the need of tickling ears to learn a new revelation, something deeper of God, something that someone doesn't know, can take you right into, open the door for deception. Right. Wow. Hallelujah. Many times in the Bible, we're told, of course, to not be deceived. I did not go back into the Old Testament, but just in the New Testament, I'm going to run through these very quickly. I'm not going to read all of the context of these, so you can write these down and look these up further as you're studying these things out. But we see many times in the New Testament, Galatians 6:7, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So a deception is to think that you can do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want, and not have any corresponding consequences, good or bad, right? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 10. Did you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor murderers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to get into this, not the big teaching about, does that mean, you know, if you ever have a drink or you get drunk, you mess up, you get drunk one time, you're not going to go to heaven. That is not what that means. But don't be deceived. These things were sent to keep people out of the kingdom of God. If you're participating in these things, you're not going to have revelation. You're not going to have the reality of what really is on the inside of you, righteousness, peace, and joy. You're going to struggle. You're going to live like the world. You're going to think a lot like the world. Your life's going to look a lot like the world if you can't get out of these things. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the culture of the world that's trying to slip into the church and make us compromise and make us think that these things are okay. And I can get a little tipsy here and I can hang out with people that are having sex with other people and not think a thing of it. How dare you, God, think some things of these things. Listen, if we're going to get down to the chase of it right here, right? I know you're still going to love me after tonight because I'm just preaching from the Word of God. And we cannot be a church. We remnant people. Word people to the core. We cannot be a church that's just playing around with things or hiding behind things. When Jesus comes, we're going to be found faithful. We're going to be found having faith, living with God, living uprightly. We're going to be found as the holy and the blameless church. James chapter 1, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This means if you are reading the Bible and you read something and you think, I'm not doing that, and you just go on. And maybe you go on because there was a season of your life where you tried to do it and it didn't work out. Maybe it's a season of your life where something is con. Maybe you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. Maybe you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. When you just go past that, you're opening yourself to deception. I'm talking about really being deceived by the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. Listen to this. Do not be deceived. These are all New Testament, by the way. These are all written to the church, by the way. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Be aware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There are traditions that we can carry. Traditions from family. Listen, when you become a Christian, you lose everything. You lose everything. You lose everything that you brought in from your family, everything that you brought in from other religions, everything that you brought in from the world, everything that you identify. We now identify with Christ alone. I am now a Christian above all things. Just because my family culture, my culture does something this away. My culture has always done something this away. And you know, now my family's going to get upset if I don't do this away. So you'd rather your family not get upset and let God be upset. Second, I'm going to move on from that one. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away first comes and the man of sin is revealed and the son of perdition. Listen, there is coming a great falling away, the Bible says. Don't be caught up in it. Even the elect can be deceived. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. James 1, 16 and 17, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Don't be deceived. Don't let someone convince you that something that bad happened. If it's bad, it's not from God. If it's bad, don't blame God. Something went wrong somewhere and it's never God. Don't be deceived. Don't let that trap come upon you. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does this mean? This just means don't get prideful. Walk around thinking that you can never be wrong or do something wrong. Never need to repent. Never need to apologize. You'll get deceived. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. Did you hear that? When I read stuff like that, I got to say, Lord, I'm not going to let it be me, Lord. I'm not like just, oh, that's just for other people. No. I'm sticking with God. I'm staying with God. I got to live tight. I got to live upright. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Boy, we are really living in the world today where consciences are seared. I mean, people don't even, stuff that is just so blatantly evil, just an abomination in the eyes of God. And it's just like, they're all for it. They all love it. Let's parade it around. Let's talk about it. Lord, have mercy, Lord, just have mercy, God. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, God. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. For those who will listen, Lord. For those who will listen, Lord. Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And therefore, do not be partakers with them. Empty words. The devil lying. Empty words. Promises. Some things that can cause deception. Some natural things, it seems, that can cause deception. Stress in your life. Stress about all kinds of things. Stress about marriage, stress about children, stress about work, being overstressed, your mind constantly taxed and at work causes your mind to not be stable. And when your mind is not stable, we move outside of the mind of Christ and we begin to open ourselves. And a lot of times stress will cause us to do really stupid things. We have to guard ourselves against stress. We have to guard ourselves against money problems. We have to guard against stubbornness. Just stubborn. Just, I'm going to do it this way. I have to, you know, nobody's going to. Just being stubborn opens you up to deception. Pride in any way. You know, pride is can be so subtle. You know, but most people don't go around, you know, I'm prideful and it can be very subtle. The true definition of humility is a total dependence upon God. So anytime we're moving outside of doing anything, thinking that we're relying upon ourselves, we're actually in some form of pride. Pride will cause us to get deceived, to think that we know best. An undisciplined thought life opens the door to deception. A weak spiritual life, when you're not reading your word enough, when you're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, when you're not in church around other believers, these things are doors. When you don't repent, Brother Hagin used to say, just recognize when you're wrong and repent quickly. Just do it quickly. Unforgiveness and bitterness will open up the door to major deception in your life. To avoid, of course, deception, we need to use our tools. We first have to recognize that it's knocking at the door. Stay in the Word. Live in the Spirit. Have a pastor that can speak into your life. One thing that can help you when you're slipping into deception is somebody that's around you, whether it be a pastor, a leader, whether it be a spiritual friend that can say to you, hey, that's wrong. Hey, don't go there. Amen. Hey, you need to stop this. Amen. That's what we do. We love each other. We care about. I love you too much to let you stay where you're at. I love you too much to let you continue heading down a path where you're going to fall in the ditch and no telling what might happen. You know, the Bible does say that if we stay in sin too long, that we can eventually have an unbelieving heart, right. Right. Which then could make us deny Christ. Right. Yeah. These things are serious. Yeah. Are you ready to move to the next one? Woo! Number two, distractions. Distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. It's an extreme focus or an agitation of the mind or the emotions. How about that? When you got something that's constantly like that, do this, do this, you got to do this, you got to get this done, you got to get this. Chances are you need to just stop, chill out, and look to God. We know the account in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Martha versus Mary, remember? And Martha got caught up. She got distracted. She fell for the trap of distraction, and it caused her to miss out on an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. All right? So we have to guard against distractions. Know that distractions are dangerous. I'm going to read this that I wrote here. I'm going to read it very briefly. You don't have to put it up on the screen, but listen to this. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 out of the Amplified. Then the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age. Right. Yeah. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. I want to be famous. I want to be famous on Facebook. I want to be an influencer. I want hundreds of thousands of people to follow me. Be careful. And the craving and the passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. What is a distraction of this age? Anything that separates us from our first love, our Lord, our relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the church of the living God. We must give full attention, seeking first and putting first the kingdom of God. What becomes fruitless, it says here, is God's word working within us. This tells us if we get distracted, that the word is fruitless in our lives. Our desire, our lust for things will choke and suffocate the word. Listen, we need to pay special attention when the Bible is telling us that doing certain things then make the word fruitless for us. That means that the word of God, when it's not first in your life, that the promises of God and the benefits of sonship that he has promised to you and to me will not produce fruit. Uh-oh. in our lives. What that means, when you step outside into that category, that means you're now living according to your own flesh because you've not got God in the mix of it. So you're not doing it with the grace of God or the ability of God. You're all off on your own, and you're trying to produce something on your own because the Word of God is what produces for us. Don't let the desire for other things and other people take precedence over the Lord. Listen to this, Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 out of the Message. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. All the things they have to do. Overwhelmed. When you're feeling overwhelmed, you need to recognize, come on, you're treading right here. You're treading right here. The devil's knocking at your door. So something's out of sorts here. Something's out of order here. They are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they hear and nothing comes of it. To avoid and overcome distractions, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and we need to keep our eyes on His kingdom. We need to do Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first God, the kingdom of God, His righteousness, which is being in right standing with Him and doing things His way. Number two, meditate on the significance and the value of the kingdom and its work. We can't get distracted. There's so much kingdom work to be done. And it is eternal. It is what will last forever. So you need to meditate on the significance of the kingdom, of the value of what this kingdom work is doing in the earth and your part in it. Number three, you need to assess. At times, you need to stop just blowing through life and just acting like this is it and I just got these things to do and this just is what life is. Listen, there is a way out with God. There is a way up with God. There is a better way with God. But you have to seek Him first. I heard this said one time. I thought this was really good. Some people say, I don't have time. Like in the morning or whether you're doing it, I don't have time to put God first. Really, the truth is, you don't have time to not put God first. Number three, moving on, we're on to disobedience. Disobedience is a failure or a refusal to obey rules, or we could say the word, or someone that is in authority. Disobedience would also include anything that is done outside of faith. Our belief in God. Our belief of God. So let me just tell you a couple things real quickly about disobedience. The devil wants us to think really that disobeying God is like okay. Like just it's okay sometimes. But it's really not. Disobedience will always cost you something. With the devil, there's always a justification. Remember, you know, no one understands my life. No one but really the Bible tells us that all these things have been around always at all times. James 1 Verse 14 and 15, if you could put this up on the screen, please. So disobedience comes from the temptation. It's a temptation to not do what you're supposed to do something you know you're supposed to do, or to not do something you're supposed to, or to do something you're not supposed to. James 1, 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So you have to recognize when the thought is coming, how the thought is coming, what's coming. Is it coming through a person? Is it coming, however it's coming? You have to recognize that, because if you don't recognize that and you begin to think about that, this just tells you that it doesn't just come upon you all of a sudden and you do it. It's that you kind of have to give yourself over to it. No one goes and robs a bank like, oh, I think I'm going to rob a bank. Okay, that's too big. Let me think of something else. What could we think of? Oh, I'm going to steal something at work. No one just instantly thinks. They see something and the thought comes, you could take that. And then the thought might come to mind, you know, you could take that and no one would know. And then the thought comes, you know, you could take that and it wouldn't really matter. They don't need it anyway. It's been there for a whole year. You know what? You could take that. No one would know. They don't really need it. And you know what's not really? Hey, it's owed to you. You work really hard. This is how it comes. We take the thought and we don't deal with it. Remember, the Bible says we have to resist the devil. Remember? We have to stand against. We have to recognize when these things are coming. I'm not going to give myself over to it. I'm not going to give my thought to that. You know, your spouse, I was going to say husband, but I'll just make it general. Your spouse does something really stupid and something that's really, really, really irritating. And the thought is, I'd like to just blast them. I mean, I'd like to just... You know, not like cussing or anything, but just tell them how stupid it is. But when that thought comes, the devil wants you to do that. He wants you absolutely to do that. Step outside the love walk. That's a big deal. So we have to resist. We have to use our weaponry. We have to use the blood of Jesus. We have to guard our mind. Come on, plead the blood over our mind. We have to take control over our thoughts. We have to use the name of Jesus. I'm not doing that. No, I'm doing what the Bible says. I love my husband. I love my husband. I love my husband. I love my husband. I do love my husband, but you know what I'm saying. My husband never does anything stupid anyway. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to do, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is never an excuse of why we disobey God, of why we sin, of why. There's never an excuse. God always, He always is with us. He's always giving us a way of escape. To not give way to disobedience, number one, hide the word in your heart. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 119:11? Hide the word in our heart so that we don't sin against the Lord. The more we've got the word of God in our heart, the more implanted it is and grafted into us. Remember, the word is alive and powerful. Pray in tongues so as to build yourself up in faith and in power. Praying in tongues keeps yourself in the love of God. Come on, praying. And then what is the love of God? The love of God is to obey God. The love of God is to keep the commands of God. Not just, whoo, I love God and I'm going to sing some songs to Him today. That's just a small part of it. And really your soul can be, you can totally do that from your soul and never have your spirit involved at all. But it takes your spirit to obey God. Because your soul and your spirit sometimes are going to be at war. You know, your flesh is going to be like, I want to do this. And your spirit's like, don't do it. The word says, don't do it. The word says, you know. And like a scripture will come up. Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now remember, we're talking about these things so that you're more skillful. Because that's the word I keep hearing tonight, is skillful. God wants you to be skillful. God's expecting you to be skillful. God's given you what you need to be skillful. We don't have to fall prey to these things. It doesn't mean that they're not going to come knocking at our door. It doesn't mean that the opportunity to go there, to act upon them, to do them is not there. But it means that we can, come on, We can use our weapons. Can we do it? The Bible says we can, right? We're back to believing the Bible. I know this is high living. I mean, like, these are some high standards. But the Bible is full of high standards. That's what we're called to. That's why we're not just doing this life on our own. We're not just running our own way, doing it our own way. We're not just doing it our own ability and our own strength and according to what we know. That would be that we don't need God for that. I mean, when you can go a whole week and not step outside of the love walk, it's like, wow. No, I mean, seriously. Never have an evil thought about someone. Always think the best. Always believe the best. Bear up under any condition. When you can do that for a whole week, and then like when you can do that for like a whole 2 weeks, and maybe you missed it once, but instantly the moment you missed it, you recognized it and you repented and you were washed clean. And so it's like it did. It's like then the Lord removed it. And so it was like it didn't happen. And so now really you've gone for 2 weeks. That's the way I see it. Come on. If God removes it from his memory and acts like it didn't happen, then we don't have to act like it happened. But that's what this life with God, that's being skillful. That's being a skillful soldier when we can instantly recognize the enemy and we're instantly in position. We're not like, oh, wait a minute, what was I supposed to do? I mean, the enemy's right there. Remember, I told y'all Sunday we're spiritual snipers. I mean, just the minute we see, just a minute, shoot that down. No, shoot, that's out. Let's see if we can do number four. Number four, delays. Delay is a period of time by which something is late or postponed. Delays cause us to get frustrated. Delays, if you don't deal with delays and you don't learn to deal with delays spiritually, it will lead you into some of the other D's, okay? You will definitely score a D. Just remember this, first of all, that God is never late. I said God is never late. So we either believe that or we don't. So again, if it's really God, if God really said it, if it's really, and it's not, then it's either that we've put an undue time frame, and the devil will help you. The devil will say, you know, if this doesn't, this better happen by this time. This better, you know, we can't operate in the time frames like that. It'll mess you up, right? We have to remember that God is never, like my old pastor used to say, he used to call God Jehovah Nick of Time. God is always in the nick of time. I mean, he might not be early, but always in the nick of time. When it's God, he shows up. So he is Jehovah Nick of Time or Jehovah always on time, but not always according to our time. Okay? Of course, we can cause our own delays. The devil can cause delays. But let me just remind you of where we can see that the devil gets involved in fighting against the things of God and trying to put delays. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, we remember this. Daniel had prayed. He had made a request to God, and it says this in verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." So this, what this means is that a man of God had prayed to God, God had heard his prayer and instantly sent the answer. But it took 21 days for that answer to come about in the earth because in the spirit realm, the devil was withstanding that work of God, that word of God, that answer of God. So the devil can get involved in delays, absolutely. But what I want you to realize here was that Daniel prayed, and then he just believed and trusted God. That was it. Even though it didn't happen immediately, he didn't move off of it. He didn't get bit out of shape. He didn't start negating. He didn't start saying a bunch of negative, go, where is God? Why isn't God doing anything? When you start saying that, you have just negated the words that you have prayed in faith. And the Bible says that the answer came because of his words. So when things seem to be delayed, we can't let it ruffle us. Because if it ruffles us, the devil will really get involved. And he will start finding all kinds of ways to do all kinds of crazy things in your life where everything is delayed, everything is not working. Because if he knows it frustrates you, that's like an open door. Ooh, frustration. Ooh, let me come in. When something is delayed, what do? We keep our eyes toward the Lord. We ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I need to know? And if we don't know anything to do, if we don't know anything to say, we stand firm and we stand in joy and we stand encouraged and we stand loving the Lord and blessing God and expecting that God is big enough to work it out, turn it around, make it happen, even if it didn't happen in the time that we wanted it to. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Delays are a big deal. Because I'm not going to have time to get into them tonight, but delays will take you into disappointments. Absolutely. And delays will take you into discouragement. And delays, if you let them, can become just where now everything's deferred and I just can't even trust God, you know, for anything. And that'll make your heart sick. It'll make your body sick. Can lead you into doubt. Delays can be a big deal. To live above delays, listen, everybody's going to have some sometimes. We live in an imperfect world. You do remember that, right? And as long as we're here until Jesus comes back, things are not going to be perfect. Things are not always going to operate perfectly. But that's okay. It doesn't change anything about God. It doesn't change anything about who he is, how he works. It doesn't change anything about our belief in him. It doesn't change anything about how we're to live in peace and joy. I just always think when it's something that you know that the devil, when you feel the need to get mad or you feel the need to get frustrated, just do the opposite. Because the devil, he's just waiting for you to act upon, you know, what he wants you to say or how he wants you. He wants to know that it's bugging you and messing with you. That's his goal, is to mess up your life. So I'm going to be like, I'm not giving him the satisfaction. I'm going to zip my lip. I'm going to raise my hands. Come on. Praise God. Live with God. Love God. To live above delays. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. What is above? God is above. God is what? God is good. God is kind. God is great. God is power. God is love. Set your mind on things that are above. Guess what's not above? Problems, situations, what you think's not working out, you trying to figure out how to make it happen. None of those things are in the heavenly places. Those are all earthly things. Don't think on them. Don't think on them. We have to get confident in knowing that we have a helper. And I'm going to trust the helper. I'm going to lean upon the helper, not lean on my own way, not try to work it out, not try to figure it out, not try to reason it all right here. No, I'm going to lean upon the helper. I'm going to run to God and say, God, no, I know that this is what you said to me. This is what I believed you said. This is what God. Is there anything I need to know? Is there anything I need to do? And then I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit who lives in me, who it is his responsibility, it is his job, it is his role. If he doesn't guide me and lead me, he is not upholding his end of who he is according to God. That's right. I have to know that. I have to be confident in that. Absolutely. That God's going to let me know what I need to know. And if I don't know anything, then I'm not changing anything. I'm not going to back off of what God said because it didn't happen yet like I thought it was going to happen or in the time. I'm not going to do it. No. God said it. If God said it. You know, our mind can get involved in these things. We do have a mind. We have our own will. We have our own emotions. We have our own desires. I remember many, many, many years ago, this was pre-Pastor Chaz, the Lord had said something to me. And he had given me a word about a particular something. And it was a great word. And I love the word. And I hooked that word up with something that was going on in my life. And I was believing God and trusting God and thanking God. You know, I had written it down and, you know, what the Lord had said. And it didn't happen like I thought. All of a sudden, I was face to face with the reality that everything I thought about that word was not now what it is. And this was like a pretty final situation. And so I was like pretty upset. And I went back to God. And I'm like, you know, this is what you told me. And this is what I've been believing. And this is what I've been praying. And this is not what happened. And I need to understand this. And you know what God told me? He said, go get the word. Go get it. Now, I'd written it down. You know, I'd written it down a lot of places. I got it and I opened it. He said, now read it. And I read it. And he said, now, you thought this, but this is this, and this is exactly what it said. And you know what? He was right. Wow. And it ended up being a good thing. It ended up being way better. Like in the moment, because I had thought it was like this way in this particular something, and I had focused so much effort and attention on that one thing that when it didn't happen, it's like it just fell apart. And I'm like, God, where are you? Like, God, you left me. I mean, I'm upset about this. But when God showed me, and then, you know, just a few weeks, it's like, wow, it was true. What God had said had really come to pass. I mean, thank God he had bypassed my stupidity and trying to make my own way and my own thing with it. But what I got at the end was so much better. What I got at the end was so much glorious than what the way my mind had conceived. It taught me something. Taught me not to put my own stuff into the words of God. When I pray, man, and I pray a word, I pray the word. I just pray the word. And this is, I don't pray all the middle parts and how and what. And it's, I just pray, this is it. When I get to the end, this is it. This is what it's going to look like. This is what, somehow. Praise the Lord. Is this helping you? Do you feel like you're getting bigger, stronger, sharper, more skillful? More skillful. We need to expect to be more skillful in identifying. Part of this is identifying. Part of this is that we buy into the lie that this is just ourself. But even if we're allowing self to get distracted, even if we're allowing, we have to fix that. We have to fix these things. We have to recognize them. We have to want to be really sharp with the enemy. Not willing to go there at all. And not like, you know, have to do it for a week and then finally realize, I think the devil is messing with me. You know, if we'd have just known this if we'd have known it on minute one. I say this all the time about sickness. Because sickness always starts with a symptom.
Right, that's right.
Okay? Just like temptation, sin starts with a temptation.
That's right.
A temptation comes. And then what you do with that, if you can reject that and it go away, or you can act upon that, once you act upon it, now you have sin. Okay? When you have a temptation that comes, the quicker you recognize it's a temptation and you deal with it, the better off you are. The longer you let it come at you, and then you begin to meditate on it and think it, and then sometimes you receive it, and it gets you all messed up, and it's harder to get rid of. Same thing with sickness. It comes as a symptom. And so when the symptom comes, we need to instantly recognize this is not of God. Instantly, this is a ploy of the devil. This is a scheme. This is a lie. This is a deception. This is a distraction to me. This is instantly and deal with it. Instantly resist. Instantly make it go away. Not, oh, well, I'll deal with it later. We're in it. Our body's feeling it. And the more our body feels it, the more we think about it. I don't feel good. Maybe this is wrong with me. Maybe I have this. Maybe this come upon me. Maybe I need to go to the doctor. Maybe I need the other. And before you know it, it's now in you. And now you have given the devil, through the symptom, the right to put sickness on you. And now you actually have sickness. When in the beginning, if you would have just resisted, come on, if you'd have just stood against it, you may have to stand a while. We want to say it one time. Sometimes it'll work. Sometimes you might have to say it several times. Sometimes you might have to say it an hour. Sometimes you might have to say it 2 days. But it's your choice. Are we going to give in? This is being skillful. I mean, are we going to use the name of Jesus and expect it to work? Or are we going to use it one time and if it doesn't happen just at that moment, think, oh, you just got deceived. You just got deceived if you thought the name of Jesus didn't work. Because if you think the name of Jesus didn't work, even if it hasn't left you yet, you'll keep saying it. You'll keep using it. You'll keep doing it. Because you know, I know that I know that I know that the name of Jesus is greater than this headache. I know that I know that I know that I know that the name of Jesus has more power than this headache. I know it, I know it, I know. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I resist it in the name of Jesus. Ha, 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 headache, no. And you just go about your business. And then 5 minutes later, your head's like her. Oh, my head, I'm not having a headache. The name of Jesus, oh, I got the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my head. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body. This is what a soldier does. When a soldier sees the enemy, he doesn't just like shoot one time and if it goes that way, oh. That's not what a soldier does. If a soldier shoots and it misses, he shoots again and then shoots as many times as he can. And then he pulls out his knives and everything else. And right? Time to be skillful, man. Get out your weapons. Recognize when the devil's bringing a tactic or a device or a strat or saying, don't take it. Don't take it.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.